אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Yeah, that's right. He arrived, he spent a whole week in Australia and he was busy every single day and night. And of course, next week he has to go straight back, he flew straight back to Israel for the third election. So it was a busy time for Reuven Rivlin, but he spent a lot of time, he met kids, he was like a rock star reception at Mount Scopus School in Melbourne, where all the children from Melbourne's Jewish day schools came, met the president, they flew the Israeli flag, shook his hand, and he also gave them a talk, an anti-bullying talk, and giving them some advice on what to do. He went to Taronga Zoo, where he met a very adorable koala bear. He went to the naval base at Garden Island in Sydney. He met bushfire volunteers, and he thanked them for their effort and said he was pleased Israel could help in many ways. He also was the headline speaker at the UIA gala events in Sydney and in Melbourne, where he thanked from the heart or Australian Jewish population for their continuous support and long-time commitment to supporting Israel's people.
I think at the UIA function there were over 2,000 people in Sydney and also over 2,000 people in Melbourne. So quite a lot of people from the Jewish community had the chance to see the president.
Yeah, absolutely. He got a standing ovation in both cities. There was a lovely musical interlude by Idan Reichel, who's a very famous Israeli musician, and Stephen Lowy, who is the UIA World Board of Trustees chair, presented him with a lovely copy of the original Keren HaYesod call to action document that was signed by Israel's first president, Chaim Weizmann. And he was presented with a copy of that. And Stephen Lowy said that Reuven Rivlin was actually kind enough to write the foreword in his father's book, Frank Lowy's book, Holocaust Survivor, write a lovely message in that as well. So I think the two had a special bond on that evening. Politically, Mr. Rivlin met Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison on last Wednesday. He conveyed to him from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, Israel's appreciation for Australia's staunch support of its right and duty to defend itself, including in international forums such as the UN and the International Criminal Court. And Morrison told Reuven Rivlin, Australia will always be there to support the Jewish people and the state of Israel. Then he met senior Labor figures, where he made a commitment to McNamara MP Josh Burns that if there is no progress this week in alleged child abuser Malka Leifer's extradition hearings, he will meet with Israel's Chief Justice next week to ask how things can be sped up. So that is a very, very good news to hear from that. He did not meet with some of Leifer's alleged victims as requested by them during the week, but at least he has made this commitment. Let's hope that the case can be sped up.
Well, the listeners should acknowledge the fact that Israel is a democracy and the judicial system is completely separate to the governing, to the prime minister and to the president. The president can only pardon prisoners or at a special request, but they can't interfere much. He can ask the questions. That's what he can do, and that's what he promised to do.
Yeah, that's right. And he had a very busy schedule. He also, I didn't mention, all in that one week, he also visited the Australian Securities Exchange, ringing the bell to start the day's trading. He went to an Australia-Israel Chamber of Commerce lunch, and he also went to Magen David Adom's function in Sydney.
The Magen David Adom was a very successful function. I was there, and he showed a lot of support to Magen David.
Yeah, so all that in 7 days. That's not bad going.
Yeah, taking into account that the president is not such a young person anymore.
Yeah, that's right. He certainly had lots of energy. just wonderful to have him visit, and I think it was the first visit from an Israeli president in about 15 years, and only the third visit ever by an Israeli president to Australia.
We are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, on a totally different topic, here in Australia, ASIO director gave a special warning last week that actually worried the Jewish community.
That's right. In his delivery of ASIO's, which is Australia's spy agency, of their annual threat assessment last week, Burgess, who is the Director General of ASIO, said the extreme right-wing threat in Australia is real and it's growing. In suburbs around Australia, he said, small cells regularly meet to salute Nazi flags, inspect weapons, train in combat, and share their hateful ideology. Following his address, the government, Australian government, has been lambasted for its stance on the matter. On Tuesday during question time in Canberra, Deputy Labor Leader Richard Marles put the question to Prime Minister Scott Morrison, why has the Australian government not listed a single right-wing extremist group as a terrorist organisation? But Morrison said, no government has invested more and applied itself more to give those who are working on counter-terrorism in this country the resources they need. While Burgess noted that violent Islamic extremism of the type embodied by IS and Al-Qaeda and their offshoots will remain the principal concern, he added that right-wing extremism is a growing concern, and obviously this threat came into sharp, terrible focus last year in Christchurch in New Zealand. So it could happen here too. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Peter Wertheim has commended Burgess's report for sounding the alarm about the growing security threat posed by neo-Nazis in Australia. And in the meantime, in Victoria, the history and impact of the Holocaust will finally be taught in all Victorian secondary schools. This is a major announcement by the Victorian government and a breakthrough acclaimed by the Jewish Community Council of Victoria and other Jewish organisations. The Andrews government in Victoria announced the initiative with Gandel Philanthropy and the Jewish Holocaust Centre to adapt Holocaust studies resources specifically to the Victorian school curriculum. Now, it makes Victoria the second state after New South Wales to introduce mandatory Holocaust education in all public schools. And it does come after the horrific incidents of anti-Semitic bullying in two Victorian schools that was reported in the Jewish News earlier this year and raised in state parliament. New South Wales introduced compulsory Holocaust education for students in years 9 and 10 in 2014.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist, the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much and have a great week.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.